But as a business owner, you know, we sell courses, but we have to promote them. They don't promote themselves. So we have to market them, whether by doing content or something like that. Other designers are making, you know, templates, for example, and that has other, you know, I think, well, some of them, then it's different dynamic because you're in a store, for example, and there's some people who are being promoted by the store, and they're probably making a lot of money, even if they're not promoting their stuff. So for very few people, there's actually this passive thing is actually passive. But for the most of people, and again, this is me talking about templates for a second. Most people, they're not going to make anything out of it unless they promote it.
Welcome to the Profitable Graphic Designer Podcast, brought to you by Aventive Academy. I'm your host, Katie Sandell. I'm a brand strategist, designer, creative director, and the CEO of a successful six-figure design agency based in Austin, Texas, serving clients worldwide. After mastering the art of building a profitable and sustainable design business, I decided to help you achieve the same success. I teach brand, graphic, and web design business owners how to attract more clients, increase their pricing, and develop design businesses that provide the financial freedom and time flexibility you've always dreamt of. We offer online programs, courses, and templates that you can use, along with our coaching, accelerator, and mastermind high-touch experiences for creatives. You can learn more about starting and growing your design business at AventiveAcademy.com. But for now, grab a cup of coffee and join me in today's podcast episode. Hey, designers! In today's episode, we have a very special guest with us, Ran, a designer with over 2 decades of experience and a passionate advocate for Webflow, will be sharing his incredible journey and insights into the world of passive income and building a successful agency selling online courses. If you're a design business owner looking to explore new avenues for income, you won't want to miss this conversation. Thank you, Ran, so much for being here with me. And before we dive into this amazing topic, I would like to ask you to introduce yourself and tell our listeners who you are and what you do.
First of all, thank you for inviting me. Pleasure to hang out. So my name is Ran. I've been a designer for over 20 years now. I guess started as a graphic designer, worked in advertising agency, branding agencies, worked in startups, then went out on my own, freelanced for a few years. That became pretty profitable. Started doing YouTube, sharing my journey, kind of like as vlogs, documenting what I'm doing, you know, meeting clients and all of that. And then that became popular. And I figured out that I actually enjoy making videos and talking about design. And then I started making courses, and that became even bigger than my freelance business. So at, I think, 2020, I actually stopped doing design work for clients and focused mainly on education and built Flux Academy, that now have, first course was Webflow, as you've mentioned, which I've been super passionate about since they came out. And to build websites for context, if people are not sure what Webflow is. And now we have a bunch of courses around design and web design with other instructors except myself. And we have, mainly a big YouTube channel where we cover web design and the business of design. And that's what I'm doing these days. Following up on your promise for passive income, there hasn't been much passive things in my life. We're very active, but it's been good.
Yeah, I was just about to say passive is really not passive, but we'll talk about that. Yeah. Can you tell us what inspired you to even start sharing your knowledge and expertise with the design community?
Well, the truth is I just like to talk and tell people what I think. And I guess I didn't have enough designer friends around me, but even when I went to design school, and even when I was in design school, I started blogging about, you know, me as a design student. And then, you know, I had a different blog about my experience as a junior designer in a branding agency. And so I actually blogged for like 4 years. again, sharing my journey from the very, very beginning. I just enjoyed sharing. And then later found out that video, sharing on video is actually easier for me than writing. I do like writing, but somehow video is easier for me. So anyway, I love to talk about the things that I'm passionate about, and it's just a good kind of like creative outlet for me. It's just fun.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so when it comes to passive income, so many designers want to like generate passive income. Could you explain what passive income means in the context of, you know, web design and online courses?
Okay. First of all, I think we really need to be very, very careful with the term passive income. Most things in life are really not really passive. The most passive thing that I can think about is, let's say you're an author and, you know, you sold the rights to your book or something like this. And, you know, you have an agency that, or you're a musician and, you know, they're selling your music and you're getting, you know, passive income from royalties on that. But as a business owner, you know, we sell courses, but we have to promote them. They don't promote themselves. So we have to market them, whether by doing content or something like that. Other designers are making, you know, templates, for example, and that has other, you know, I think, well, some of them, then it's different dynamic because you're in a store, for example, and there's some people who are being promoted by the store, and they're probably making a lot of money, even if they're not promoting their stuff. So for very few people, there's actually this passive thing is actually passive, but for the most of people, and again, this is me talking about templates for a second. Most people, they're not going to make anything out of it unless they promote it. So, and with online courses, again, you know, we sell our own courses on our own platform. So we have to actively market them. Other people put courses on course platforms like Skillshare or Udacity or something like this, where, you know, the platform potentially can promote them alongside other thousands of other designers. So there's always, you know, a very small minority that benefits from this and makes a lot of money. And most people don't make a lot of money. This is something that I care deeply about because I see this discussion about passive income. And I think a lot of times it's mainly kind of like a conversation to sell people on courses or something, sell a dream. But most things in life, this is like hoping that your template will go viral is pretty much like saying, you know, hey, the lottery is a passive income, right? You buy the lottery and if you win, you get passive income, right? No, you just won the lottery and that's good. That can be a strategy. But for me personally, my strategy is not to try to win the lottery, is just to do the work, which is marketing. So there are benefits and we can talk about that. You know, when you're selling a product, whether that's a course or a template or something like this, you have a lot more potentially leverage, as in you can sell 10,000 units. Whereas when you're selling a design, like a website design service, you can only sell so much before you're maxed out, but then you can scale with other people. So it's a different business model. It has its pros and cons. Again, what I'm talking about is the you know, services versus products. This is the discussion that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the passive income because passive income, as I've mentioned, whether you're hoping to be picked as the featured template in the store or you're hoping to get a book deal and then the, you know, Penguin Random House will promote your book and you're going to get, then it's basically hoping to win the lottery. Of course, we can put caveats on that and say, well, if you're the first one in the store, then you've got bigger chances. Like, for example, I think in the last year, you know, Framer, which is another website building platform comparable with Webflow, they kind of like became the new cool kid in town. And a lot of people did templates for them because the store was new and there was a lot of demand for it. A lot of people made money. But now, as with most things, whenever everybody realizes, oh, I can make money with Framer templates, now there's a huge, you know, surge in inventory and in supply. And then, you know, the people who were there first are still making money, but all the new ones are not making money. But a lot of people will sell courses doing how to make money with Framer templates. So timing, of course, is always important as well.
Okay, well, tell us now a little bit about your agency, Flux Academy, that sells online courses. Like, how did you come up with the idea of selling online courses? I know you wanted to share your content on YouTube and things like that, but how did you build an online course, and how, like, what steps did you take to turn that into a successful business?
So I basically stumbled into it by mistake. This wasn't kind of like a grand scheme of things, but I also had this vision or, you know, idea or something that I wanted to do that besides having a successful service business, also to be able to sell a product. And I've actually had multiple tries and fails, you can call it, before I succeeded. I had another business before Flux Academy, which was called New School, which also we did a few courses and it didn't resonate as much. And then I had a different business, which was software for freelancer called Prospero, which was kind of like a software for proposals, which was modestly successful, but we decided not to continue with it. And then I did the Webflow course, which just exploded. And I think kind of like key takeaway from this is that it's not only about the format of like, hey, I want to do a course. You also need to, what startups call this, product market fit. You need to have the right product for the right audience at the right time. Now, I was also, I guess, fortunate, or I've been building an audience without, you know, just because I've been posting a video on YouTube daily for about 3 years without really thinking about, hey, I'm trying to monetize this. Hey, I'm building a marketing channel. So I just did this for fun. But when eventually I had the right thing that they wanted from me and I presented to them, I mean, the reactions were really, really good. And because I've already had enough failures, or let's say average successes, I could immediately see the difference in the response and say, okay, there's something interesting here. The reactions to this are way better than, you know, anything that we've had before. So this resonates more. So let's double down on that. And so I decided to focus on that. And I've done that for, I think I've launched the course in 2018. And then I haven't really started building a team before 2020, or maybe slowly, you know, I had people to, it's pretty similar to how you build any business, where at the beginning you start delegating the tasks that you don't want to do yourself, whether it's doing the, you know, admin and doing the invoices and doing, so first things that you hate, you usually delegate. So I had my wife help me to begin with, and then I had other people from, so there were too many questions in the community that I couldn't handle everything. And we had somebody from the community, hey, let me pay you and you help other people. So slowly started to build a team out of, you know, the necessity, not more than some kind of like a vision of I'm going to build a big company, and kind of, again, rolled into it.
Yeah. And how big is your company at the moment?
So it's difficult to say, because a lot of the people that we work with, the mentors and the content creators, are basically a bunch of freelancers that we collaborate with on a part-time basis, right? So we have a lot of people working with us on a part-time. We've mm-hmm. got about three people working full-time, or, you know, kind of like the core team. And then we've got about maybe 10 other people working with us on a part-time and, you know, something like this. And this always kind of like changes. So it's a very dynamic and flexible team.
Yeah. And you mentioned marketing and promoting online courses and how things are actually not passive. So can you share some strategies or tips for effectively marketing and promoting online courses to your target audience? Like, what do you do in order for people to discover your courses and buy them?
So again, what worked for us was YouTube. And again, not out of a strategy. It's what we did first, and then turned out it works. And there's, in hindsight, there's a logic to it, because somebody who wants to learn online by watching a video first goes to YouTube. And if they like the instructor, they're like, okay, I trust this person now. Let me pay to get more in depth and so forth. So for online courses, I think it makes sense. YouTube is YouTube, I feel, is great. Anyway, we've tried a bunch of other things like ads, and like we've been very active on Instagram for a while, but now less so. So for us, the main thing is YouTube, but there are, you know, I know because I'm looking at other people who do online courses. Some people do great using Twitter. Some people do great using Facebook ads. Some people do great by blogging. Some people do great on Instagram. It really depends on what your strong channel is. And I think that that strong channel is based on the type of content that you enjoy doing.
Yeah. And you mentioned you are not on Instagram as much. Is that because it was not working for you? Because YouTube is simply your focus?
There's two reasons. Number one, I personally got sick of, I was very active doing stories every day and, you know, posting. I got sick of it. And then I delegated to somebody who was super talented. And when that person left, we couldn't find somebody as talented as them, and kind of like the content degraded, and kind of like the channel mostly died out. That's number one. And number two, in general, I think over the last 2 years, I think Instagram has changed a lot. You know, it was image based, and then there was carousels, and now it's trying to become TikTok. It's kind of like a platform that is not sure what it's trying to be. And when it's not sure what it's trying to be, it's very difficult for a creator to know what to do to be successful on that platform. So we're kind of like, we're still trying, right? We're posting to Instagram, but it's very weak right now for us. I still see people are doing great, but for us, I personally, by the way, have not, while I'm confident saying I'm pretty good at doing YouTube videos, I'm not very good at doing short videos, like TikTok style videos. I haven't been able to figure that one out yet. Maybe when I do, then my Instagram will go back to being good. But yeah.
Yeah, but I love what you said. That's exactly what's happening with us as well. Like, I love personal Instagram. And I think that our target audience, brand, graphic, web designers, freelancers, they're all on Instagram. It's a very visual platform. But I totally agree with everything you said, because it was the single posts, then carousels. And then when we finally figured out what to do with carousels, now we have these reels. And do I have to talk like on a camera? Do I have to pretend like I'm talking to a screen? Do I have to point, which I'm not going to do? Do I, like, what do we have to do? And just the other day, so I have over around like 23,000 or 25,000 followers. And the other day we posted the carousel and we got 12 likes. And I'm like, how is this even possible? I used to get thousands of likes per one post. Yeah. And I know it's just likes, but that means that people didn't even see
They're changing the algorithm. They're changing. I think everything changes. The user behavior is changing. The app is changing. You know, what I try to do is look at my behavior. And honestly, my behavior has been, I actually haven't opened up Instagram for myself to use it. And I've been using it heavily before. I'm not using it anymore because I find it boring.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I mean, it's just, TikTok is so much better for me. So I spend now all of my time on TikTok. So I'm just trying to see if I feel this way, maybe other people are feeling this way as well. And, you know, I look at my wife, she's still on Instagram, and she's kind of like, Instagram Reels, I feel, is like what happened on TikTok two weeks later. So it's like, that's my feeling about Instagram Reels. So she's seeing what I saw like 2 weeks, what succeeded on TikTok, you'll see it 2 weeks later on Instagram. So that's how I read the market currently. And I haven't figured out how to do TikTok successfully. I'm going to try to spend more time doing this year. But I also believe that, as I've mentioned, people have like specific strengths. Some people write really good. Some people find Twitter easy. Some people, I find YouTube easy because for me, I hit a camera and I can talk for like 5-15 minutes straight without script, without anything. And it's just easy. It's a different skill set to compress that into like 60 seconds. So, and I don't have that skill out of the box. Some people have this skill out of the box.
It's funny that you mentioned that. I'm totally opposite. I feel like I better deal with short form content than with a long form content. Everything that I watch, so when it comes to, you know, consumer, from the consumer's perspective, I do tend to watch everything that's like 15 to 20 minutes if it's like an educational content. But if it's something for fun or if I need some quick tip or something like that, I don't know if you saw, but there's really good channel on YouTube. I don't remember the name. I'm probably subscribed to it, but it's basically like 1 minute tutorials for Illustrator, Photoshop, or something, Premiere Pro, and things like that. Uh-huh. And I love that because it's so concise. It's like so short and it's like 1 minute. Oh, I just need to figure out how to merge this sound or something. Type that in. And when I see a video of like 5 minutes or a minute, I'm like, I'll click on the minute. And maybe I'm not even find the right answer, but I'm going to watch it because it's just a minute.
By the way, I'm very frustrated from YouTube tutorials. When I know that the answer is, I'm just like trying to see what button in the menu you're clicking and you're dragging this over 5 minutes with seven. So that's, for sure, you need short videos for that.
Yeah, because definitely they're trying to get as many like viewed minutes or however, you know more about the terms. So sometimes I'm like, oh, this tutorial is 20 minutes. I feel like I can do this in less than a minute. I just need to know what I need to do. Before we continue with this podcast episode, I just want to quickly remind you that if you're a design business owner whose dream is to have a successful and profitable career so you can enjoy the freedom and flexibility that comes with it, then I have something for you. The Profitable Designer Program is my signature 12-week system that will help you improve your business, sign amazing, high-paying clients, and truly achieve your financial and lifestyle goals. Visit AventiveAcademy.com/profit to check if you can join us now or if we are currently not accepting more designers into the program. In that case, you will be able to join the waitlist and be the first to know when we open the doors again. Now, we'll go back to the episode in a second, but I just want to add that designers who completed the program were able to sign five-figure design clients, 10 times their pricing, reach six figures and beyond, make $20,000 per month while working only a few hours a week, and more. So if you want to be my next success story and achieve results like these, visit AventiveAcademy.com/profit. Now, let's go back to the episode. But when it comes to content, I totally understand what you're saying. So you were basically posting every single day, right, for a few years, and that's where your traffic is coming from. So basically in your descriptions, you would have a link to your courses.
Again, so for the first 3 years, I didn't have anything. First 3 years, I wasn't selling anything. And by the time I started selling stuff, there was...
Did you go back to edit the descriptions and add the links in?
No, because you know what? All of my... I didn't have... You know, at that point, if you think about it, a video every day for 3 years, there's like 1,000 videos. It doesn't worth your effort going through all of them. So you have to find like the top 10 or something and just fix the top 10. Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So when it comes to online courses, like what types of courses, of online courses, have you found to be more profitable in the design industry? Is it something that's going to talk about the platform like you did with Webflow, or it's more about the business side, or what is it that you would say is working in the design industry and why?
I don't think that there's a specific thing. I think, you know, at the beginning, let's say, what really matters is what people come to you for, right? So we have a Webflow course, we have a web design course, we have a freelancing course, but most people come to us for our Webflow course. And they would go maybe to the future or something like this if they want a business course. Now, some people, you know, they took our Webflow course and they're like, oh, I love learning from them. So I want to know what Ron has to say about business. So I'm going to take his freelancing course as well. So it's okay, but that's not the main thing, right? That's not the, what we call like the flagship product or something like that. So I don't think that there is what's more profitable. It really cares about what your audience wants to see from you. Of course, there's, you know, when I did a Webflow course, I was the only Webflow course out there. So, you know, I could charge whatever I want. I was the only option out there and it was great. And then, you know, I'm open about the money I'm making and everything on my YouTube. So a lot of people would say, oh, there's actually money in Webflow course. I can do a Webflow course. So, you know, a couple of years later, there's a bunch of other Webflow courses. We charge $700 for our course. Other people charge $20 for the course. So now you have to not only explain why you're, you know, you're teaching Webflow, but why are you 50 times better than somebody else? So it changes how you market, right? So another thing to consider is the market, what's called market saturation. Like how much competition do you have in that specific niche or something like that? Now, you know, you were asking about profitability, but profitability is a function of how much money are you spending to acquire the customer? And then how much money does it cost you to serve the customer? And then profit is what's left at the end. Now, you know, for us, what it cost us to acquire the customer is basically what it cost us to make YouTube video. That's the cost, right? So, you know, either my salary or salary of the other creators plus the salary of the editor and so forth and so forth. That's the cost. What it costs us to serve people is, you know, we pay, we have a team of mentors that answers people's questions. We do a certification that they work through, you know, a project together with you. And so that's way more expensive than if somebody who's just selling a course and then goodbye, don't ever talk to them. So their costs of service are, you know, so for example, if you're on a course platform, right, if you're on Skillshare or whatever, or awards, you're basically sharing the revenue with them, right? So that's also part of what it costs you, right? So you can honestly never, I think, know what other people are making, right? I only know what's working for us. Yeah. And also, we're not always optimizing for most profits, right? Because if I would want to optimize for most profits, I would, you know, cut down on the editor and cut down on the mentors and cut down on everything. So I have less expenses, but then that would create a, you know, a different experience and maybe people won't be willing to pay. So it's kind of like a balance that you have to find.
Yeah, definitely. And do you have an affiliate program for your online courses where others promote your courses in exchange for a commission?
Yes,
and if
we
so,
do.
Could you share how you found these affiliates and the benefits of such partnerships for your business?
Honestly, we haven't actively went to find them. That's one more thing that we're going to start doing this year, by the way, start working on partnerships. We haven't put a lot of effort into it. We've kind of like naturally, if some of our students or if people ask for us, hey, can I be your affiliate? We're like, sure, here's a link. And we do have a few affiliates. It does not account for a large part of our revenue, but we are trying to put more focus on it now in the next year because it is a good strategy to have somebody else, you know, do the marketing for you. But just like, again, ads or anything else that costs, right? Instead of spending on ads, you're basically spending on commission. So it's just a different marketing channel, but it is, yeah, a marketing channel.
Yeah, definitely. And I saw on your website, and you mentioned that you partner with other people who basically create an online course for Flux Academy. And then I'm sure they get some kind of commission. And so I'm just curious, like, how does that go? And why do you decide to bring on others to teach your audience versus you creating all the educational material?
Okay, let's start with the why. I think I'm not the best at everything. Like, I think there are some people who are better. For example, now we have a Framer course and a Webflow course. I'm an expert on Webflow, but I'm not an expert on Framer. So it makes sense that somebody who is actually an expert and actually doing this for clients and actually understands the, you know, the ins and outs would have the, would be the, you know, the instructor on that course. So that's number one. You know, I'm not the expert on everything. Number two, if I try to do everything myself, you know, things would move much slower because there's only so much I can do in a day, in a week, in a year, right? I can't produce so many courses. So it's a different way to kind of like scale. And you pay for that. What you pay is, yeah, revenue share commission with the other creators. Yeah. So yeah, and that's that. Yeah.
Okay. And then when it comes to, again, like promoting your courses besides YouTube, do you also have a newsletter and how do you get?
So by the way, it's funny to say for the creators who work with us, basically what we, part of the deal of why they want to work with us is basically we're telling them you're going to make passive income, right? Because you're doing the course right now, we'll be promoting it later on, right? So you will only get the, you'll only get the revenue share, but you pay for that. They pay for that, as in we get a larger chunk because we're working on the promotion.
Yeah, exactly. So basically it's like a course platform where you're promoting their courses and they're making money off of it. So it is passive income for them, but they still have to put a lot of effort into creating that course at the beginning.
Yeah. And we try to create incentives for them to help us promote the course. And we bring them on our YouTube channel and, you know, we pay them to make videos. So we try to align the incentives so that they would want the course to succeed. They'll be active into, you know, trying to help us promote it and yeah, so that both of us win.
Yeah. Okay. And I was just thinking about newsletter. Do you have a newsletter and how's that going for you?
Yeah, we do have a newsletter. We never treated it as a newsletter up until a couple of months ago, and we don't have anywhere on the website sign up to our newsletter. However, we do have a lot of you know, what we call opt-ins or lead magnets, where like people download resources. We've got a lot of free resources, and when they download them, they get on our email list and I send the weekly newsletter. So while nobody is actively joining a newsletter, we're like, here's your downloadable. By the way, starting next week, we're going to send you weekly, you know, newsletter with tips and resources, stuff like that. If you want to unsubscribe, please do. But, you know, most people stay on that. And it's quite huge at this point. It's like over 200,000 designers are on it right now. And it's actually going very well. So one of the things that we'll do this year is we'll focus more on promoting the newsletter, where it's basically back to my blog, because, you know, I told you I used to write weekly. So now I write weekly and it's just on the blog. I don't have a blog. The only way to get access to my writing is to be on this newsletter.
Yeah. So basically in the new year, you will be focusing on newsletter and affiliates.
Yes, some of the things that, yeah, we've got a few focuses, but yeah, one of them is to directly guide people to join the newsletter actively, not passively by downloading something else, but actively telling us we want to be on the newsletter. Because right now people don't know about this newsletter. That's the problem. So that's one thing that we want to do this year is highlight, hey, we send this, you know, great newsletter every week, you know, with personal stories and tips and insights and interesting resources. So we want to promote that. Yeah. And we want to reach other audiences. We know that, you know, right now on YouTube, if you're going to search anything web design related, you're going to get to us. So in a sense, we're kind of like, we're in a good position dominating the web design niche on YouTube. But there are people who are just on Twitter. There are people who are just on a blog. There's people who are in different corners of the internet who are still into web design, but they're just not on YouTube. And we're trying to get to them by, you know, partnering up with other people.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned the number when it comes to how many subscribers you have. So how did you get over 200,000 designers? Because that's a huge number. And for many listeners who are going to listen to this, they'll be like, oh my God, how is that even possible? Because they're still at like 200 or 2,000 or even 10,000. And like, how do you grow more than that? So how did you get to those big numbers?
It is a combination of consistency and luck. And number one, I'm you know, we've been doing this since, you know, as a newsletter or the list exists since 2018, which is, I don't know, like 5 years now. But before that, I had the, you know, the YouTube. Before that, I had the New School, which I told you about, that also had a newsletter, which I used to write. So it's almost like actively writing and talking with an audience for 10 years. So it's not an overnight success. Definitely. So that's number one. The other thing is sometimes you're lucky. So one example of being lucky is that I've made a video crash course on Figma. And this year, YouTube decided to really push it to people and it got 1 million views. And this video has, you know, a downloadable. If you want to follow along, you can download the resources to this course. And like, I don't know, 70,000 people enrolled in that this year alone. So, and that's not really up to me. I mean, I did the right video in the right time and people liked it and YouTube liked it. And so you can say, okay, it went viral. And then going viral when you have a strong like system in place already. So,
but also it's not like you recorded that one video and went viral. You've been consistent and posting, and just YouTube decided to reward you.
As I've said, like if you do something 2,000 times, few of these times you're going to get lucky. So it's a big numbers game. We've been doing it a lot, right? Most of our videos don't have 1 million views. Most of our videos get, you know, 3,000 views. So yeah, so but we don't stop doing it. We're like, this video didn't get views. I think we're going to quit. We're going to keep on doing it.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, well, finally, can you offer some actionable advice or key takeaways for our listeners who are interested in exploring passive income opportunities in web design and online courses? Like, what advice would you give to someone who is thinking about building an online course?
I would, there's two things. Before you're with online course is a big investment in your investment of your time. And I've seen a lot of creators work several months into creating a course and making it perfect and then launching it to crickets and really getting burned out of this process. So my advice would be to validate that you know how to sell a course before you actually have a course. And the process of how I did it, again, I already had an audience, but if you don't have an audience, a good question for you to ask is, who's going to buy it? And again, if you're thinking, okay, I'm going to put it on Skillshare, then know in advance that you're basically buying a lottery ticket. Now, buying a lottery ticket is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, sometimes you need to buy lottery tickets, but just know that. Don't come with big expectations and be disappointed. If you're trying to do it on your own, you know, I basically did a poll on Instagram, you know, what course do you want, like Webflow course or logo course? And then people voted. And so the people who voted for Webflow, I then went ahead and personally DM'd every one of them and said, I'm thinking about doing the Webflow course. If you want to, if you're really interested in it, you know, you can pre-buy it right now with, you know, half the cost. And you're going to get it in 2 months when it's out. And enough people bought it that I know, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm not going to get stuck. So I've pretty checked out the waters before I dove into really, really doing it. So my advice would be that don't jump right into production. It's a big project to do an online course or do a mini thing, do a mini course, do a free mini course and see if you can you get traffic to a free course? If not, who's going to buy the paid course? Are you going to enjoy doing it? It's also something really important. Are you going to enjoy recording a whole course? Do one video, do 10 videos, see how you like that. So my advice would be to first experiment and see how you feel about it. Not decide, oh, I have a strategy for making passive income, so I'm going to go all in on it. Wait, to test it out. Maybe templates is the right thing for you. Maybe online courses is the right thing for you. Maybe something else. Maybe designing a font, whatever. I don't know. Yeah. Do experimentation. Be kind of like testing out the waters. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that because So we just yesterday, we had our coaching call and one of our students asked if she should create Canva templates, you know, to sell them on her website. Yeah. And I'm like, do you have any subscribers? How's your Instagram audience? Like, and she's like, well, I don't have them yet, but maybe after I create the templates. And I'm like, that is so competitive, especially with the templates and especially Canva templates. I feel like, I mean, I'm sure there is success for everyone and there is room for everyone. But before you start,
no, this is, by the way, this is not accurate. This is not accurate. This is, the success is not for anyone. It's like 20-80 or 10% 90. It's like 20 people will succeed and 80% of people will not. It's just a pyramid. It's not because you're bad. It's just like, you know, that's the mechanism of, you know, the internet. You know, they can only surface, there's too much. People can't buy everything. And the way people buy is, they buy what's popular. They buy what other people buy. So once somebody is already reached the top, it's very, very difficult to beat them and get, you know, build yourself from scratch. So yeah. Again, no, I'm not saying this to be discouraging, but...
No, and what I meant by there is room for everyone, I mean, maybe that's not in Canva templates. Maybe that is going to be something else for her and not Canva templates. Because right now she doesn't have the audience. So maybe for her... At this moment, the best would be to continue being a web designer or brand designer, you know? So that's what I mean by...
Anyway, you should have a day job while you're experimenting with other things. Definitely for me, I kept my day freelance, but I kept doing client work up until, you know, I made more money doing other things before I dropped it. And even then, I was really worried about dropping it because, you know,
yeah, definitely. Okay, well, before we say goodbye, can you please let our listeners know where they can find you online? I know you mentioned your YouTube channel, but can you tell us what the handle is, your website, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you hang out?
Flux Academy, Flux, it's FLUX-academy.com is our website. Soon we're going to have a shiny new website. And Flux Academy also on all platforms, on YouTube mainly. Me personally, I'm more active on Twitter right now, which is Ran Segal, RanSegall. But that's also my handle on Instagram. Yeah, that's about it. Hit me up, well, send a DM.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been a really pleasure. And thank you for waking up early.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for tuning in to the Profitable Graphic Designer podcast. But wait, before you go, if you enjoyed this podcast episode and want a chance to access one of our online courses for free, simply leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Each month, one lucky reviewer gets to pick a course as a token of our appreciation. And here's a reminder. We are here to help you build the design business of your dreams, whether it's creating compelling proposals, attracting 10K clients, pricing your design services, improving your portfolio, reaching six figures and beyond, or helping you stand out. We've got you covered. I invite you to join over 1,000 designers in my signature 12-week program, The Profitable Designer. Visit aventiveacademy.com/profit. And also, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. That way, you'll be the first to know when each new episode drops so you never miss out on future content. Until next time, be sure to connect with us on Instagram at Aventive Academy, where we share valuable business tips, stories, and resources for brand, graphic, and web design business owners. Bye for now. Your host, Katie Sandell.